This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Another chance for somebody to win tickets to see the Caps tomorrow night, Game 5, Capital One Arena, coming up in about 15 minutes at 5:20. We're G&D. Danny has hit the road. He is on his way over to GW to MC an event tonight. So I am solo with you until 6:15 and Nats pregame the rest of the way on the Fan. Let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Ben Standig of The Athletic stopping by post-Commanders draft. Before we get to that, what did you make of yesterday's big announcement? And do you think that this is going to happen, or are we going the way of Leonsis in Virginia?
I mean, obviously things have been, you know, incrementally moving in this direction. And, you know, we got a heads up a week or so ago that something may be happening imminently. And here we are. You know, to me, go back to, you know, 18 months, 2 years, and it all came down to, would the D.C. Council spend the money? And that was even before they gave $500 million to Monumental Sports for their refurbishing. So, you know, we'll see how Stern, those who are opposing giving out the money are with this. I mean, the fact that it is now here, that it's not just a hypothetical, that there's a deal on the table, that the Commanders are ready to go, you know, maybe that changes some minds of people who would have been against it, because, you know, it was like, I'm not for this thing. But now it's here to get an NFL team, to get a new stadium that would obviously be a centerpiece for this city to attract other events. You know, that's got to be tempting. I would imagine that somehow this ultimately gets done, but, you know, my guess is it's not going to be a straight line from yesterday's announcement to that moment.
Yeah, it never is. As far as the draft goes, more surprising to you, not a single trade back or not taking a single pass rusher off the edge?
Probably not a trade back, but, you know, once they got through the first two picks, you know, those are their best opportunities to get, you know, some viable picks. You know, the strength of this draft was in those middle rounds. You know, it wasn't like a top tier, a really strong top tier, and that the next few rounds kind of like leveled out, that you get good value in round 3 and 4 at least. So I think once they were in a position where they weren't going to get extra picks there, it's probably when it was like, okay, well, we're just going to move forward here and take these picks. Obviously, you know, we talked a ton about edge rusher. You know, you would have guessed that would have been the case, but, you know, my view of this whole draft was they don't have to do anything they don't want to do, because in free agency, they largely covered up any kind of issues. I'm not saying that they're good they're good enough at edge rusher. I don't know if I think that at all, but especially like if we get to the postseason, they don't have youth, they don't have athleticism, they don't have an obvious like guy who's going to go out and get, you know, 8+ sacks, but you know, that they should be better against the run. And they have, you know, five or six guys that you could say, hey, these can be part of our rotation. We'll see if they do any for agency. So, yeah, a little surprised. But, again, it's not like the picks that they made were, like, you know, wacky or anything. They also addressed areas where we said they needed some help. So, you know, something had to give. And, you know, depending how you want to look at it, they unfortunately they didn't get the edge guy.
So it sounds to me like you would not be stunned if they didn't still sign a veteran edge. I think it's a foregone conclusion that they've still got to go out and grab, pick your guy. I mean, Judon or Preston Smith or whoever, at least one of those guys. But you think they could just go into the season with what they've got on the roster now?
Well, I mean, all the guys that are out there for the most part, I mean, unless there's just some kind of, you know, deep undercover guy that we, you know, I just don't know anything about. But in terms of like the headliners, like the guys you just mentioned, Za'Darius Smith as well, like all those guys are, you know, over 30 as well. This team needs to get younger. That's not going to do that. Now, does that help them more potentially this year? Yeah, sure. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, just to use him, had 9.5 sacks last year. That's more than anybody else on this team had. I'm sure other teams around the league will be knocking on his door as well. But, you know, unless they think that one of these guys is going to be viable enough to be like sort of top three in a rotation, can help against the run, you know, give them some pass rush. I'm not saying it's that they wouldn't. I'm just saying I don't know that it's like they've got to do it. Za'Darius Smith for me is kind of the line after him. You know, I don't know that it really – I don't know that anybody necessarily moves the needle based on, you know, where they are in their careers and things like that.
I guess I just don't look at their edges and see anyone you'd be blocking that would be really good if you brought someone in here. Javonte Jean-Baptiste they drafted in the 7th round, got hurt last year. Maybe they like him. Jalen Holmes flashed a bit. I mean, Andre Jones, I think, you know, is on the team or he isn't, and I don't know how much of a difference that makes. Jacob Martin in his career is not really proven to be a pass rusher. So for me, they just don't have it. Like Cleland Farrell, Dietrich Wise, those guys play the run okay maybe, but it just seems like they've got to do something, especially coming out of the draft. I thought, you know, they might draft a kicker as an example. They don't do it, and then today they sign Matt Gay. It feels to me like it's just kind of that same thing where now they go back to the drawing board and they throw money at somebody, whether it's Za'Darius Smith or somebody else, and say, we need someone who can get his 8 sacks opposite Dorrance Armstrong on passing downs.
I mean, yeah, I agree. That would be ideal. I'm just saying, based on what I see out there, you know, Matthew Judon had 5 sacks last year. Von Miller had 6. I'm not going to pretend I've gone back to watch all their tape. This, you know, sacks are not always a good indicator of how effective somebody was. But, you know, the old story, if they were really good to be a difference maker, they probably would be already on a team by now. Of course, teams at a certain point in the free agency process, they wait till post-draft. So a signing doesn't account against the compensatory pick calculation. So that's why some players are still available. But yeah, again, look, they could go out and sign these guys. I get it. But I guess I'm just saying that even if they did, for the most part, I wouldn't be thinking to myself, wow, they really fixed this problem.
Oh,
I
totally.
Just think that, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Like I said, they've got 6 guys you can, you know, argue would be on the team or you know, could be. And, you know, again, Za'Darius Smith aside, I'm happy to admit if I'm missing somebody, but just in terms of the sort of the obvious names, I don't know that they necessarily, you know, change much for me, whether they do any, sign them or not.
Ben Standing of The Athletic on Grant and Danny looking at the draft class. Trey Amos in the 2nd round. Would he start possibly after a competition? Is that the plan, that he'd be a boundary corner? You'd have him and Lattimore and kick Sanders still into the nickel, which was the original plan? Or did they see enough from Mikey outside that maybe he plays out there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a really fascinating question. You know, going back to the original, you know, when they originally drafted Sanders still, he was going to be the slot guy, and he was ready for that. They were talking about that, and then I don't think they wanted to move him outside, but as we remember, you know, the other cornerbacks were just, you know, falling apart all over the place, and even when they got Lattimore, you know, he's hurt, so he didn't play for a bit, and Sanders still did a good job. And, you know, I was, you know, talking to somebody with another team before the draft, and they were like, look, generally speaking, if you've got a slot corner who can play outside, you don't move him back to the slot. So, look, they needed more size on the perimeter anyway. They needed more depth anyway. And, you know, Sanders still is the only one you could have said for sure would be on the roster in 2026. So, if nothing else, they do have, you know, another piece there for the longer haul. But, yeah, Amos is going to be an outside guy. You know, if he can come in and be a contributor right away, then moving Sanders still back to slot, to me, would make a ton of sense. They also have, you know, Jonathan Jones, who can play either outside or inside. He's, you know, there's a lot to like about him, the veteran experience. He's tough against the run, even though he's not the biggest guy. So, you know, and then you got Noah Igbinoghene, who obviously was pretty good last year in the slot. So not to like punt the question and be like, hey, you know, I got options, but it is kind of like that. I just, sure. me, it would be, what do I want to do with Sanders still long-term? If I want him to be outside, then he'll be on the outside and I'll have Amos maybe next year if Lattimore is gone. But if they want him to be on the, in the slot, then move him to the slot. I just don't want him necessarily moving around a ton in terms of like learning positions. You know, obviously he can be flexible, but what is he going to be? That's going to be the question. And I would think this is a sign that it's a slot, but we'll see.
It took Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, the wide receiver in the fourth round at 128 overall. How much do you see him figuring into their offense? And do you think he'll be their punt and maybe kick returner?
Yeah, I think that the fact that he can do both, you know, return and be a factor in a return game and on offense is why you make a move like that. You know, their top two returners last year is Zacchaeus and Crowder. One is signed elsewhere, and the other one's not on the team. So I think that's got to be a huge factor. You know, adding speed on offense to me was really critical. I didn't so much care if it was a running back or a receiver. It needed to be from somewhere. They did it with a receiver. Guys can run a 4.34 40 time. It looked like Virginia Tech got him the ball a lot, sort of quick screens and slants, and just, you know, get him the ball in space as best you can and let him go from there. And, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, can design that. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be, you know, frontline receiver snaps barring injury, or he just comes in and crushes it because they have some other guys. But again, you look long term. Well, even if we assume that Terry McLaurin signs an extension, the only other receiver they had beyond this season is Luke McCaffrey. So, you know, they've given themselves a potential future slot. And, you know, if he's able to come in right away and show he can help on offense, then, yeah, you put that 4.34 speed somewhere on the field and get going.
Do you feel pretty confident that McLaurin gets extended at some point around the start of training camp?
I would be surprised if he's not back. I mean, you know, unless the money talk is just out of whack, I would imagine they find somewhere, you know, some way to get this done. Obviously, what he did on the field last year, on top of his entire career, was very impressive. The leadership and all that. And, you know, look, the majority of the moves that have been made this offseason have been connected in one by one thing, or by one mindset, and that is help Jaden Daniels. And taking Terry McLaurin away from him from the long haul would not be wise in that front. So I would assume they get something done. And, you know, if you're not going to somehow pay Terry McLaurin, then, you know, what kind of message is that sending to everybody else? He's literally the poster child for what you want out of a leader, a teammate, a player. So I would be surprised if it's not done, whether it's training camp or OTAs. We remember in the last time he was up for a deal, he did miss some of the early part of the offseason workout because of the, you know, it wasn't wholly out, but it was voluntary. So you'd like to think he'd get there and participate, but we'll see.
Ben Standing of The Athletic. They'd take Josh Connerly at 29 overall. You actually, on the show before the draft, told us you wouldn't be surprised if they went tackle. So kudos to you. You were thinking outside the box a little bit there. But walk me through your projection for the starting offensive line at this point.
Yeah, I mean, similar to the cornerback situation that we just discussed, I think the offensive line could be really fascinating. I'm going to assume that Connerly has the inside track to get the right tackle job. You know, it's always he played left side in college. For offensive linemen in recent years, the transition from college to pro is a lot trickier than it has been in years past, just because of the way offenses are in college and what they ask linemen to do. But if he's able to make that transition, if he's able to show something in camp that they feel confident putting him out there, then he's the right tackle. And then I think what becomes interesting is, what do they do with Brandon Coleman? You know, to me, I would look to see about putting Brandon Coleman on the left side, put him in competition with Nick Allegretti. You know, I don't want to keep having Coleman move all over the place. You know, if somehow Coleman were to beat out Connerly for the right tackle job, that would be surprising to me, but let's just, you know, maybe that happens. But ultimately, he's going to land in guard. Ultimately, Connor is going to get that job. And so I would just assume have Coleman be on the left side. You know, Cosby's on the right side eventually. You can have Andrew Wiley or Nate Herbig be that fill-in at right guard. Or if Coleman were to win the left guard spot, you can move Allegretti over. I'm not knocking Allegretti, but, like, you know, the move isn't just about, right, it's not just about upgrading right tackle. It's about now moving Coleman somewhere else, because obviously he was a third-round pick and he showed some good promise, and a lot of people thought he'd be better off a guard anyway. So I think that, to me, is going to be really fascinating. Do they, you know, do they give Coleman and Wiley real shot to be at right tackle, or do they just kind of quickly say, hey, we'd like to see what you guys can do at guard as much as anything, and go from there? But, yeah, I mean, I think Tunsil, Coleman or Allegretti at left guard, Biadasz, Cosme, but with a fill-in until he's back, and then Connerly, that to me would be the best guess as to what a week one lineup looks like.
Ben's cranking out good content and has a lot of intel on this draft class. Depth chart analysis that he posted was really good over the weekend as well, so go check him out at The Athletic, worth a subscription. Benjamin, thank you, sir, as always. We appreciate you.
Grant, time flies by when I'm talking to you. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
You got it, brother. That's Ben Standing of The Athletic. You know what time it is? It is 20 minutes after 5, which is not that interesting, except that on this show at 20 minutes after the hour, every hour, we are giving away Capitals tickets. So right now, caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. You are winning 2 tickets to tomorrow night's Caps-Canadians Game 5 at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Congrats to our final winner of the day here on Grant and Danny. I want to talk about the lack of a pick at edge and what Ben had to say about, didn't sound like it. He was all that confident they'll still sign one. I think they've got to. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Taking you up to 6:15 and Nats pregame on Grant and Danny. I'm Grant Paulson. Danny is over at GW for an event this evening. Thanks for listening to The Fan. Our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Go vote right now, the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. Which member of the Commanders 2025 draft class are you most excited about? And early on, 48%, the leader in the clubhouse, is the second-round pick, Trey Amos, not the first-round pick, Josh Connerly. It was right at 39%. I guess that's not surprising because O-line play is generally not as aesthetic or as exciting, to use the word that we did in the poll. So a corner who can get his hands on the ball, led his team in interceptions and in passes defended last year, going to start on the outside and play a big role against some key wide receivers in the division. Trey Amos probably going to have more jerseys sold and be a bigger name right away than an offensive tackle in Connerly. But if he becomes a long-term starter and a household member of that offensive line, a building block and a bookend protecting Jaden Daniels, he's certainly going to become, you know, one of the more popular players on the team. Because I got to tell you, if you missed the interview with him earlier today, you'll want to podcast it. What a nice young man. TheFanDC.com when we're done, but really just an impressive young kid. And nobody's ever looked younger than him. He is the babiest baby face I've ever seen in my life. I can't stop looking at pictures of him. One of two things is happening. Either I'm officially really old to the point where now draft picks just look super young. The same way you get to a point where you're like looking at kids that are drinking at a bar or something and you're like, wait, that person's 21 years old? They look like a child. To me, I look at Josh Connerly Jr. and I see a high school sophomore. But apparently, he's a grown-up and good for him. He just looks so young. The other thing is, I guess if it's not that I'm just old, it's that he just has a baby face. Because I didn't feel that way all draft night long. It wasn't like every single player that got drafted looked really, really young. So maybe it's just a him thing. But blows me away every time I look at him that he's about to go make millions and play tackle for the Commanders. Looking like any minute now he could be getting his first college offer in high school. But my vote here would actually go to Jalen Lane, interestingly enough, who we're going to have on the show tomorrow at 4:30, the wide receiver from Virginia Tech, because I do think he's going to help this team in a bunch of ways. They're going to use him as a punt returner, which is an area where they had to upgrade this offseason, and they wanted some consistency after the lack of health of Jamison Crowder and putting Luke McCaffrey back there at times. Kick returner, where McCaffrey ended the season, I thought he did a nice job. But you want him to be able to focus on running routes and climb the depth chart as a wideout after taking him in the top 100 a couple of years ago now. A couple of drafts ago, I guess I should say, 1 year ago. But in Lane's case, make him your punt returner, make him your kick returner, and then draw up some packages for him. Kingsbury's going to be able to use him in the screen game, in jet action in the backfield, get him involved running the football, do some gimmicky stuff with him like Virginia Tech did. But just get him the ball in space as often as you can because he's got great size. That's speed, rather. That's what I wanted, was speed. I wanted someone who could run, someone who could strike up the band. I wanted it at running back. They weren't able to really do that. They did take one in the seventh round, but they didn't get a burner. The one player they added offensively with real speed is Jalen Lane, and so that'll be my vote for the player that I'm most excited about. But you can go vote right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. It's our poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. You can let them do your heavy lifting and take it to the house. More at DCMetropolitanMoving.com. We just had Ben Standing of The Athletic on to talk about the draft class. I asked him about Washington not taking an edge. I think it's a foregone conclusion that they've got to sign one of the veterans that are out there, bring them in hopes of having another 7.5, 8-plus sack guy on the team. It didn't sound like Ben was as convinced.
Well, I mean, all the guys that are out there for the most part, I mean, unless there's just some kind of, deep undercover guy that I just don't know anything about. But in terms of the headliners, like the guys you just mentioned, Za'Darius Smith as well, like all those guys are, over 30 as well. This team needs to get younger. That's not going to do that. Now, does that help them more potentially this year? Sure. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, just to use him, had 9.5 sacks last year. That's more than anybody else on this team had. I'm sure other teams around the league will be knocking on his door as well. Unless they think that one of these guys is going to be viable enough to be like sort of top three in a rotation, can help against the run, give them some pass rush. I'm not saying it's that they wouldn't. I'm just saying I don't know that it's like they've got to do it. Za'Darius Smith for me is kind of the line after him. I don't know that it really. I don't know that anybody necessarily moves the needle based on where they are in their careers and things like that.
So he mentioned that they need to get younger, and while I don't disagree with that at all, they were the oldest playoff team last year. That doesn't seem to be something they care a lot about. So while me and Ben are in lockstep, I don't think that's been a priority for them. They're in this one-year veteran edition mode because they don't have enough young talent because the last regime left them pretty depleted from a draft and develop standpoint. And so if you look at Josh Johnson, who they signed as a backup at 38, or Zach Ertz, who they brought back, who's 34, Trent Scott is 31, the wide receiver they brought in here, Chris Moore is 31, Mariota's 31, Wiley and Tunsil are both 30. And we could go through the list, right? Bobby Wagner's in his mid-30s. Nothing that they've done makes you think they would refrain from signing one of the edges available, Za'Darius Smith, Matt Judon, Von Miller, because of their age. You're not signing any of these guys to a multi-year deal. You're talking about 1 year, hired gun, come in here, elevate our Florida position the way that they did with Wagner, and it worked out, and they rolled with it. The way that they did with Ertz, and it worked out, and they doubled down. And if you go sign Za'Darius Smith and he comes in here and replaces what you lost, let's say, with Dante Fowler and goes and gets you maybe not the 11 sacks that Fowler did, but he repeats last year and has 9, 9.5, 10. This is a guy who did have 13.5 at his peak in Green Bay as a Pro Bowler back in 2019. Has kind of routinely been in the, you know, averaging probably 8 or 9 sacks for the last 4 or 5 years. If you could go get him, like the Lions did when they brought him in for 8 games and he had 4 sacks at the end of last season, and his wants, which are to try to win a Super Bowl, to extend his career, to play for a contender, to hunt quarterbacks, agree with yours in the Venn diagram, the circles overlap. You just need someone who on passing downs has some acumen and can get home. I don't see why that wouldn't make some sense. They've got the money on a 1-year deal to do that. But I think it's not only something they should do, something that they have to do. And maybe that's where Ben and I disagree a little bit, is maybe what they've got on the roster and how well they'll be able to rush the quarterback. Here's the one caveat I'd provide to their status quo on their roster not being good enough. The one area where I'd say maybe they can make this work is if I was to find out that they've got a plan for Frankie Louvu to play more edge on passing downs, and they bring him down out of the off-ball linebacker spot as a pass rusher more frequently even than they did last year, when he was their best pass rusher. Because, yes, Dante Fowler had the most sacks. Louvu was by far their most impactful guy. Didn't rush as often, ended up with 8 sacks, and I think he's the hardest guy to block on the team when he comes downhill. If they stand him up, Carolina did that, by the way, a bunch, as if he was just a straight edge on a bunch of passing downs, and he's only 28, prime of his career, I think he could go out and have 10.5, 11 sacks this season. Would not surprise me at all. But he was so valuable in the linebacking core, their best player at that level, that it wasn't really a fit to do that. Maybe their plan or their thought is, now that they drafted an extra linebacker in Kane Medrano, maybe they feel like between him and getting Jordan McGee healthier, they'll have more depth, and maybe they can plug one of those guys in and then have Louvu move around a little bit. And that creativity is what they'll use to get to the quarterback. It's not just about sack count. I say sacks, it's an easy counting stat. It's an easy thing to track and monitor. It's just about consistency of pass rush and being able to get quarterbacks off their mark. You can't just allow someone, you know, beyond quick game to stand in the pocket and survey and make throws. So to me, that's the big question that they've still got to answer is, where are your pressures? I'm going to use the placeholder phrase, sacks. But, you know, where is that going to come from? I get that Dorrance Armstrong came on in the second half. I think he's probably a single-digit sack guy. Wise, from all the Patriots people we had on right after they brought him in, doesn't really get home very often anymore. Jacob Martin, from a pass rush standpoint, what you get is a plus. You know, it's like a backup catcher offensively in baseball or whatever. He's a decent enough big body. He's a rotational piece. Same with Cleveland Farrell. He's there to stop the run. Baptiste, Holmes, Jones, if one of those guys goes and gets you a few sacks, that's great. They got one guy at edge right now, and that's Armstrong, who you would bet on having more than 6 over the course of the season. That's not good enough. Unless you tell me that Louvu is going to be a fixture in that way, and that McGee and Wagner, or maybe they move Dominique Hampton, who they drafted last year, the safety, down into the linebacker role on some of those downs if they like him more than Medrano. But I want to know how they figure that out. And I think they should absolutely sign a veteran. Is Von Miller the right fit? No, probably not. Not at 36 years old. But a 33-year-old Za'Darius Smith, a former Redskin Preston Smith, didn't do much for Pittsburgh last year, was great for the Packers at one point in time, and then completely fell off. Is he worth kicking the tires on? I think Ben brought up Za'Darius Smith a couple times. He's a name I'd be interested in. Matt Judon of the Falcons is another name. He didn't help them a lot, but they had a terrible pass rush. I mean, it was not complimentary. There was no one attracting any attention or block, so he was kind of the main guy being accounted for. And it's been three seasons since he was really good back in New England when he was a top 10 DPOY vote getter in 22. He had 15 and a half sacks. He's got 9.5 the last 2 years. But even a 5.5, 6-sack season for him, it's not like you're breaking the bank. I think it helps. I think it all adds up. But you saw today, they didn't draft a kicker, which we thought they might. They go out and they get Matt Gay. Might they do the same thing from a pass rushing standpoint? Would you be okay if they didn't? Could you go into the season and feel good about the defensive end room if they don't add anything else to it? Could they still be a really good defense? Could they get back to an NFC championship game if this is the group at the start of the year? 800-636-1067 if you'd like to discuss that. No Danny the rest of the way. Grant Paulson with you on The Fan. I want to weigh in on a debate I've seen raged all over the internet over the last few days. We'll do that in a minute. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Danny's out the rest of the way. We're talking edges and whether or not the Commanders still need to add a veteran to generate more pass rush. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Sean is in Winchester on Grant and Danny. Sean, would you go out and sign a Judon, Preston, Za'Darius Smith type?
Most certainly, man. Thanks for having me on. No, that's what my brother and I argue about all the time, about would you rather have constant sacks or would you rather just stop Saquon Barkley? And that's what I'm more interested in. Like a Marco Coleman or something like we used to have, you know, some guy
that's a deep cut, double-digit sacks in 99 on my favorite Redskins
yes,
team
sir.
Ever.
And maybe a Kennard Lang or something. I think if we trust in letting Peters cook, that's what I'm banking on. I think we'll get that without having to worry about, you know, everyone would like to have 17 and a half sacks, but he was on the, you know, the Hendrickson guy. Yeah, you know, he's on the worst defense in the league, you know, unfortunately with Cincinnati. You know, maybe we can get him, but not at $30 million a year. And as far as D.C., welcoming him back to Commanders, man, that's the only way we're going to break the curse. And I don't know if it's just serendipitous that we got a Jaden Daniels to come back, but that's the only way. And that's I think the Super Bowl is in our near future, man. Hail the Redskins. It's time to go.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. I don't believe in curses anyway, but I'd say last year speaks to there not being a curse around these parts anymore, right? Not just double-digit wins, not just your first 11-win season since 91, but 14 when you tally up the playoff dubs as well. And you got to the NFC Championship game. But I guess if you're saying since the last Super Bowl, is that the definition of a curse? I mean, it's hard to win Super Bowls. There are teams that have never won one. Just winning 10 games has been a challenge around these parts. Getting to the NFC Championship game has been mission impossible. Which, by the way, I saw the trailer for the new Mission Impossible last night before Sinners, which is very good. The new Mission Impossible looks bangarang. One last ride for our guy, Tom Cruise. He looks like he could still do it for a bunch more years, but we'll take this one last iteration. He mentioned Trey Hendrickson. Why is that dead? That doesn't need to be dead. Let's call the Bengals again. So you don't like the options that are out there. You don't like that those guys are 33 and 36 years old. Again, I don't know why that matters. They signed Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner in their mid-30s to one-year deals. Those guys were instrumental last year in the locker room and on the field in their roles, and they liked them so much they brought them back on new contracts this year. But, okay, fine. You don't want to sign one of those edges. You don't want to agree with me. No problem. Let's trade for Trey Hendrickson then. Let's go get an impact defender who gets to the quarterback, who piles up sacks, who's going to generate takeaways, and who's going to turn a mediocre defense into a good one or a bad defense into an average one. Again, this is not a want for me. This is a need. Yes, last year the big problem was stopping the run. He talks about the argument he had with his brother, I think he said. They couldn't stop the run at all. True. They need to be able to do that. But I'd rather get beat 7, 8, 9 yards here and there at a time by a running back averaging 4.5, 5 a pop than allow quarterbacks in a passing league with the weapons you've got in this division to stand there unimpeded. And everyone says, well, last year they had plenty of pass rush. They were okay. They were fringe top 10 in terms of sacks per pass attempt, but they lost the number one guy on the team in terms of sacks. And they also lost their best interior rusher last year in John Allen. They didn't replace him with a better interior rusher. So I'd make the case from a pass rushing standpoint, they've gotten worse. Paul in Centerville, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great show. Thanks for having me on. Listen to you all the time.
Thanks, buddy.
A few thoughts on this one. So I would be happy to see them get one of those veteran edge rushers, edge guys that you're talking about. But I am not panicked about it. I think with Dante Fowler last year, I think what he showed us is that this system can generate sacks. Okay, I think that was only Dante Fowler's second season where he had double-digit sacks. So it's not like we've got to replace a real standout player. I think he benefited from the system. So if you can get a guy that can just do that, we can get it. And there's
sure, but you got like to he was a speed rusher that was a good fit.
Yes.
They don't have a guy like him on the team now.
Yes, here's where I think they can replace those sacks, though. I think they're going to presume that Johnny Newton takes a step forward.
Okay,
I think they can rush Luvu off the edge a little bit more. Okay,
I think
they've got Javon Kinlaw, who they like bringing a little bit more. But here's the other thing. If it doesn't come together, and this is just the last thought that I'll share, again, and I would like to see them grab one of those guys for the right price, but Adam Peters has also showed that he will not hesitate to add to the team mid-season if he needs to, right? We saw him go after Marshawn Lattimore last year because he saw the secondary needed it. So I could see them go into the year with what they have, maybe Javon Jean-Baptiste. They hope he takes a step forward. Some of these guys take a step forward. But if it doesn't, I could totally see Adam Peters get on the phone and say the pass rush isn't there.
Make the deadline deal. Sorry to cut you off. We're up against it here. I think you make some good points. You lose me at Kinlaw a little bit, who 3 years into his career had 1.5 sacks and has never had more than 4.5. Last year was a career high. He's not going to help you a lot in that area. But if your point is you rush Luvu more often, you're speaking my language, Johnny Newton makes more of an impact getting up the field and helps replace John Allen, great, but I think you're just replacing Allen at that point. That doesn't necessarily speak to what I'm talking about off the edge. But, yeah, could they do something in season? Absolutely, no doubt. They got the money. You got a couple of guys out there that might be able to help. What's the loss? You sign them to a one-year deal, it doesn't work out, you cut them, so be it. There's never been a bad one-year contract on the cheap for a veteran. They signed countless of those the last 2 years. More of them have worked than haven't. But it's not like when one didn't work, we didn't sit around and talk about how they wasted a couple million bucks. You know, how mad were we about the Michael Davis contract? He was there and then he wasn't, and no one thought about it. It's okay. But they've got to be able to make quarterbacks uncomfortable if they're going to improve defensively. And the bottom line is they're just going to have to score a bunch and win shootouts very likely because this offense is going to be ahead of this defense again, I'd have to imagine. All right, next on Grant and Danny, we will get you the leadoff ahead of Nationals baseball tonight. And as soon as we return, we're going to be giving away tickets to Old Glory Rugby DC right here on The Fan.